Almighty God, you know us better than we know ourselves. By your word, give us wisdom. By your spirit, grant us healing. And set us free to serve you with love. We ask this through the one who heals in your name. Amen. Somebody tall must have been here last Sunday. No, that was me. I'll be reading from the Gospel of Luke. And last Sunday also we read the scriptures from Luke. Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on during those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead to water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at the wonderful things being done by him. This is the word of God. When we look at the life of Jesus, we think of this mild-mannered, loving, kind, easy to please others, anxious to want to be with us, and teach us the way of God. If I was a sheep, you know, if you've seen the picture, he's holding a sheep in his hand. I'd want to be that sheep. But there's another side of him. Another side I'm going to put in context, so please go to in your mind wherever you find this scripture. He can get very angry, right? Where was he angry last that you remember? Where? Oh, the temple, of course. Yeah, right? It makes, for the first time, and maybe, and I know it's not the last time, but there are other places where I found that he was really angry. And anybody who is about my size can turn a table over and over. It's pretty angry because the people who were selling things at the synagogue were overcharging because people came from all over and they could not bring the sacrificial animal to the temple. He lets a woman wash his feet, quote unquote, wash his feet, with expensive perfume. My wife says, you know, as much as you pay for your cologne, I'm not going to put that on your feet, for let alone use my hair to wash it. And he said to a tax collector who was up in a tree, "Zacchaeus, I'd like to have dinner with you tonight at your house." Did he say, "You're a liar, you're a cheater, and I want to straighten you out"? Not a word. And he talked to a woman in the midday in broad light who was not a Jewish woman and asked her some water. These are big no-nos, people. If you were a good Jew, you would not be doing these things. He did not come to keep the status quo. He came to do two things. Well, probably more than two things. And just my mind this time allowed me to express this particular scripture in these two things. One, he came to help people reinterpret the scripture. That's a big no-no in his tradition. To reinterpret the scripture, and then secondly, lived in a way that he became an example of what one who loves God and fears God or respects God would live. Remember, he's the one who said, an eye for an eye is not the way God wants us to live. But he said, if someone strikes you on one cheek, turn the other one to them. Now, you just can't go around saying that. Can you believe if you were to say today, whatever Jesus said was wrong, and give an opposite answer? He also went against one of his cultural norm. If any of you without any sin be the first one to throw the stone. Now remember, the Ten Commandments are one of those movies where everybody who's got a stick or a stone or something, they just drop everything. If any of you are without any sin, let him be the first to cast the stone. And I don't want to make the Jewish leaders, the synagogue rabbis, a bad guy, because they were following what they had been practicing for hundreds of years. Just like you and I have been practicing Christianity for at least 50 to 90 years. But have we changed? Because there was some scripture that spoke to us. Have we changed something about how we practice Christianity because we keep reading and listening to God's Spirit? We keep looking at how Jesus lived and say, you know, I think we might want to change that. These synagogue leaders, rabbis, they must have known this woman that kept coming, because she was one of those women who was a regular attender of the service. They may have even helped her going up the steps or going down the steps. And we don't want to make these guys look bad, because they're just following what they know, what is to be true, and what the scripture actually was written, and they're following it to keep the Sabbath day holy. Or did they understand everything perfectly? Obviously, the job that God asked Jesus to come and do was to show us. I know it says keep the Sabbath day holy. Even, you know, the Old Testament says in Genesis that God rested on the seventh day. So we take that to mean that we're also supposed to rest on the seventh day. Is today Sabbath? Not really. When is Sabbath? Saturday! Friday night to Saturday night, right? So we're good. We're working today. At least I'm working today. And you guys are working today. So we're okay. But I do remember when, I think I may have shared that with you earlier, we had two children. I was working on my doctorate. I was working at CAMC. And, you know, my schedule was Monday through Friday. And if it rained on Saturday and didn't rain on Sunday, that was my day to mow the lawn. So I'm mowing the lawn. And guess who comes in riding his bike? A fellow Christian. A parishioner of the other church that was about 18 feet away from the one that my wife was a pastor. And he actually stopped at at the front of my house, or the parsonage, and said, "Can I talk with you?" And I thought, oh my goodness, okay, here we go. I don't know what this guy wants, but he said, "You know, the scripture says to keep this holy the Sabbath day." And I said to him, I said, "If you were working like I do Monday through Friday, and that was my working days, which was to be a chaplain, and we're on call 24 hours a day. I mean, somebody has to be available. I'm not on call 24 hours a day." And I said, "If you were sick and you wanted a pastor, do you think you would probably call me?" And he said, "Well, that's different. That's not work." Oh, you know, there's some good people paying me a lot of money for not working Monday through Friday. And even when I come and preach here, is this work? And I do get paid, right? Sometimes I just can't find it. Okay, only one time I couldn't find my check for a week. But these are the things, there are some things that we believe about being a Christian that we are completely convinced, as these Jewish rabbis were convinced about what it means to keep the Sabbath day holy. As a matter of fact, they always had this debate over hundreds of years, what's work and what's not work. So if I move this thing from here to there, is that work? Oh, yeah, that's work because you worked. It was just as confusing for them. And the interpretation of what it means to keep holy, they were not sure. And yet they were definitely in agreement about certain things. And as these people are faced, there's a woman, as these people are faced with Jesus, there's a woman who comes who has been bent over at her, obviously her back was not working for her. And Jesus sees what? Oh, wait a minute, this is Sabbath. I shouldn't be working. And is healing work? Is healing on Sabbath work? Let me say a little bit back to our Christianity. We have our own no-nos, what it means to be a Christian, what it means not to be a Christian. Most of us, the mainline denominations, are not so judgmental about other people as some of the more conservative or people who have very independent churches. And you know, we have more independent churches in West Virginia than we have mainline denominations. Some churches still don't believe that a woman should be a pastor to this day. They will educate them, even the Southern Baptists will educate them, but won't ordain them or give them in the church as an appointment or be a pastor. A long time ago, the church decided in this country black men were not allowed to be ordained. Some churches today believe in polygamy. Yep, they bear the name Christianity. Some churches don't believe in interracial marriages. And let me just stop there, because the list goes on. So I wonder, are we in being molded by our culture, or are we being freed by the Spirit? What Jesus does is profound, that it jars the spiritual and biblical brain of his people, those who are listening and watching what he does. In psychology, we call it cognitive dissonance. Let me read the definition. The state of having inconsistent thoughts, beliefs, or attitudes, especially as relating to behavioral decisions and attitude change. What cognitive dissonance is, you know what you believe and you understand and it makes sense to you, but when it comes to real life and you see something juxtaposed that is opposite to you, it does one thing. It challenges our core belief. And that's when you really, when and if you are mature, you're going to say, so, is what I have believed so far and what I'm experiencing right now is the same? we begin to examine perhaps a false notion of understanding of the scriptures. Some churches to this day, if not, they have made some decisions and they're going to go back, including my decision. We should not allow gay people to preach or lesbians. Where do we get that? From the New Testament or the Old Testament? Well, it depends. If you're talking about that, we're going to go to the Old Testament. But if you're talking about turning the other cheek, well, then we'll switch over to the New Testament. Was it okay for Jesus to heal a woman right in front of all of these people, knowing very well, and this is not the first time he's done something like this, on Sabbath, he heals a woman. What he did was bring healing that none of the other people could do, but none of them were able to understand how it was for this woman to have 18 years of life bent over where she couldn't stand up straight, and this man that they have been listening to, a rabbi, who helps her to stand up straight, one of their congregants. They could not see how they could be happy for her. What they saw was this rabbi guy, we barely know, is doing something wrong on Sabbath. They weren't happy for the woman. They picked on the guy who heals her. Where's the joy in celebrating someone else's life? In, at the hospital, as you know, we're open 24/7. And if somebody cannot work Sunday or Saturday, ultimately it's my responsibility to be available and to work. Oh, I'd have to drive my car over, walk up the steps, or take the elevator and see somebody, and I would consider that work. Because that's what I do Monday through Friday, right? But some of the other people that I know, their work is to come to the hospital and clean the bathrooms and floors, make sure the trash is empty. Now, to me, that sounds like work. Because you're actually physically doing something. It's all in how we interpret. It's all in how we see the situation or the world. What did Jesus see? He knew the law very well. He didn't come here to this world. He was not sent to this world so that he could follow what hundreds of years of Judaism. He was sent and felt the call to challenge that. And I wonder how we practice Christianity. What if Jesus was to come through those doors and say, this is wrong. We just, all of us need to look at, sorry about that. I have ears that are too small, I think. What would Jesus say to us and say, don't do this anymore? Try to look at it this way. Whenever someone, and you know you've been watching and reading and the news about where our country is, that we're so eager to pick up a gun before opening our arms to a person that we disagree with. We're so eager now that the days to intimidate other people than to love our enemies and to pray for them. I don't think any of you are here to do that, right? We're not here to intimidate anybody. We're here to love people. That's what Christianity stands for. Be quick to forgive another sin, even before they actually ask for it. If I was to ask you, how many of you really observe Sabbath? I don't. Yeah, you're right. I saw your face. None of us really do. You know what? If Saturday is raining all day, and if it's a day like this, I would have to mow the lawn today. Even though my new lawnmower has lights in the front, it's like, why did you put there? What makes you think somebody wants to mow the lawn in the middle of the night? But it's there. For $5 more, you can get the lights. None of us really observe Sabbath in the sense of what the Old Testament means. So what we do is we kind of switch at this point. I don't want to put away the Old Testament. Let's go with Jesus this time. We'll do what Jesus did. In my denomination, United Methodist one of the emphases for the pastors is, the bishop asks, how do you keep Sabbath? My wife asks the pastors that she serves, how do you keep Sabbath? It's not doing anything, quote unquote, work-wise on Saturday. We don't even think Saturday is Sabbath. We think it's Sunday is Sabbath. But all of the pastors have to work, like I am this morning, right? But before I could be here this morning, I had to spend the last week looking at the scripture and make sure that you get it, right? And then we have printed. And then I'll start working on what I am called to preach for that Sunday. That's work. And usually it's on Saturday that I write the sermons on Sabbath. So do I really observe Sabbath? Not really. So what does God want from us? If you're looking at 6 days of work and one day of Sabbath, does it have to be Monday through Friday or Sunday through Friday and start Saturday evening? Because I have my friend Victor, who's a Jewish rabbi, and he doesn't drive on the beginning or go out to eat from Friday night to Saturday night, from 6 or 7 o'clock to the next day. You know, they're moderate Jewish people, not real strict. Otherwise, he wouldn't leave the house. But if there is trash on the floor, I bet you down to a dollar, Victor is going to pick it up and put it in where it belongs. Is God really worried about that kind of stuff about us? Or does God have something more important for us to fill our minds, our heart, and our soul? So when our bishop says, what do you do for Sabbath? She is asking, what do you do to take care of your spiritual life? I know you're there as a spiritual leader. Your job is to challenge and to educate and to help encourage people to grow their spiritual life. Now, who does yours? So I'm going to answer to you, who does mine? From Monday to Friday, I get to see so many different faces of God. From people who are unclear whether God exists or not, to Southern Baptist people, independent churches, mainline people, show me a side of God that I have never seen. Sometimes it's frightening, and sometimes it's beautiful. Frightening, this 85-year-old gentleman said, I have nightmares. I said, what's your nightmares about? He said, there's a black horse with a man wearing a cape, and he's chasing me, and I'm just 10-year-old, and he's chasing me through the woods. He's got something in his hand. I think it's his weapon. And I said, okay, so where does that come from? So he thought for a while, and he said, well, I was an Episcopalian when I was young. I was brought up in this church, and they said the image that they left me about God was that man on that horse. He's going to get you. There's a lot of churches still preaching that, rather than come to my arms when you are afraid. It took me about 3 years to weed that one out of him. So he used to go to church regularly every time the church was open. I said, what have you been hearing in the church now? And he said that God is a loving God. And I said, so why does this image of this man on the horse still haunting you? He said, that's why I'm here. You helped me get it out. That was part of his issue. And we worked on it. And he says, I said, that's not the God that your denomination believes in. That's not the God I believe in. God can't wait for you to ask for forgiveness. He is more willing to forgive you than you are to ask for forgiveness. That was an eye-opener, like it was for these Jewish rabbis in the synagogue, where Jesus did something that created a cognitive dissonance. One that said, oh my gosh, that's not what I believe, but this really challenges me to rethink. Now, what happened to Jesus at the end for keep doing the things that he was? Yeah, he was crucified. I'm glad you guys don't. It's against the law today. But we are called to speak the truth. We are called to love other people It shouldn't matter if it's Sabbath or if it's Monday. If you see a need and your heart pulls at you to do something, as it was for Jesus, he did something about it and changed the life of that woman forever, until probably the day she died. And do you remember what she says immediately after she got healed? She doesn't say, "Thank you, Jesus." She praises God. And I always remind myself when I walk into a room. Oh, yeah, let me tell you this one little thing. I walked into a room that there were two sisters and a patient. All three of them were sisters. And I walked into the room, and one of the sisters that was sitting by the bed, she looks at me and she goes, "Oh my gosh, I can see your aura." You know what that word means, like something behind you, something about yourself that is spiritual in nature. And I knew at that moment, when I walk into a room, I'm never alone. There is somebody greater than me that's helping me to be there. Where you go, you have an opportunity to heal, to bring healing. Sometimes it may be just a kind word, maybe a dollar. It may be just offering a hand to somebody who needs help up the steps, or taking someone from one floor to the other floor so they can find a room. Kindness, gentleness, forgiveness, loving, peace is what we are called to do. Let us listen to Christ and observe how he lived it, sometimes controversial, and that's why he ended up on the cross. But he never let go of understanding what humans' needs are, and he never passed up an opportunity to be that voice, that hand, that healing for another. Let us pray. Loving God, as we come together and try to understand the scriptures, in trying to interpret the scriptures, it's a big responsibility. Help us to live the way Jesus lived. Help us to love the way Jesus loved. Help us to always be the Christ in this world. Amen.